I appreciate you getting services started very promptly. I had them give handouts at the door, but some people were here before they started handing them out. Called in. It says on one side, "Immortal Soul?" Question mark. If you don't have one, could you raise your hand? Yes. It says, "Immortal Soul." The Greeks taught that human beings have immortal souls. There you go. Wow. They did a pretty good job at the front door. Wow. And we'll hurry through this. This is a split sermon. And I want to cover the fact that it says in the King James, New King James, in Genesis 2 and verse 7. This is Genesis 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Interesting translation. The church, when this was translated, the church in England and the church universal, Catholic, believed that man had an immortal soul, was born with an immortal soul. And so it was translated as soul. The Hebrew word, as many of you know, and I have written in here, is nephesh. And I'll spell that for those who might be listening in later. N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh. The Revised Standard Version does not translate this soul. They translate it as being. That man became a living being. Now that's quite different to translate it a living being in most people's minds in the Christian world than to translate it a living soul. Because a being is a human being. It's not something that's necessarily immortal and in you. So that is actually a more correct translation, because that is what the word really means. Young's literal translation has translated it as living creature. Now, once again, a creature is not something immortal. Now, I would look at Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17. Genesis 2, verses 15 through 17, where it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Now the expression, "in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die," a lot of times people would say, they didn't die in that day. But that was a Hebrew expression. In the day that you do it, that means it will be sure. Your death is assured from that day on. They also use the expression, "I say to you today," or "today I say to you." And then that was emphasis. So he's just saying, in that very day, your death is assured. You will die because of what you do in that day. Now I want to show you another place where the Hebrew word nephesh is used. Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Now, isn't it handy? I gave you a handout. You already have it. I don't even hear that much turning in your Bibles. It says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature." The Hebrew word there is nephesh. Young's literal translation that we quoted in chapter 2, verse 7, translated the man as being a living creature. Here it is the same Hebrew word. Bring forth abundantly the moving nephesh. Now, why didn't they translate that soul? Because they don't believe, even in the King James in that time, they didn't believe animals had souls. So the same Hebrew word translated soul for a human being is translated creature for an animal. Or in this case, fish and such that has life. And fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature, same word, nephesh, translated soul for a human being, that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, and God said, and let me repeat that for those who might be listening in, Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, I realize I'm not giving folks at home a lot of chance to turn, but we want to keep this brief. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Now, this is on the earth, not in the water. And the Hebrew word is nephesh, that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth, after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. So, if the word nephesh means an immortal soul, that means the fish, the whales, the cattle, the creeping things, the beast of the earth would have an immortal soul. But they don't. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is... Now here's an interesting translation. This is different. Life, and the word is nephesh. To have nephesh means to have physical life. It means that you have blood that courses through your veins, and the breath of life comes into your mouth. That breath of life, we now know, has oxygen. That oxygen goes into your lungs, and in your lungs goes into your blood. And the blood flows, and you live. And you are a living creature, a being, wherein there is life. That's what it means to be alive, to be a being, to be a creature, to have life. It's in the blood. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Genesis 9, verse 4. Genesis 9, verse 4. But flesh with the nephesh, look at this, it's going to be the blood thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. So now he is saying that the blood has the life. Of course, once the blood stops flowing or flows out of the body or ends and the heart quits beating, the nephesh goes away and comes to an end. It dies. Genesis 3, verse 22 through 24. We're hurrying, aren't we? Aren't you glad? Aren't you thinking? Aren't you saying, you know it's warm, hurry up? Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. That's because they ate of that tree. To know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Lest he eat and live forever. Wait. If nephesh is an immortal soul, if Adam and Eve were immortal, then why would he say, lest he put forth his hand, take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever? But they weren't immortal. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Genesis 3 verse 19. Genesis 3 verse 19. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. And do we ever? Till you return unto the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Like the little boy said, Mommy, didn't you say we came from dust? You've heard this, right? That's an old joke for little kids. She says, yes. And after people die, that they return to dust? And she said, yes. Said, Mommy, somebody under the bed is either coming or going. So, yeah, that's a little kid's joke, but it's still cute. It's even cuter if a little kid tells it, not an old man. Ezekiel 18, verses 4 and 20, same thing in both verses. The soul, Hebrew word's actually nephesh, might be better to say creature or being or life. The soul that sins, it shall die. Now, I think the proper translation in the world tomorrow will be something like creature or living being. That sins, it shall die. Human beings, it's speaking of, they're going to die. So even here it says souls die. Not according to what most of Christianity believes, but according to the Bible. 1 John 3:15. 1 John chapter 3 verse 15. Here's what John wrote. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now there you are, no immortal soul dwelling in a murderer. Now, let me just say that I hope that most of the people in this room have eternal life dwelling in them. But it is eternal life that they received at baptism. And it is eternal life that can be lost. But God's Spirit is eternal. God's Spirit, we can lose it. It can be taken away. We can give it up. We can quench the Spirit until it's dead. And it's gone. But it is eternal life living in us. And we can stir it up and then later be born of it to live forever. But no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. There's the point. Eternal life is in you. If you have repented of your sins, accepted Jesus Christ, been baptized, and God's Spirit, meaning Jesus Christ, is living in you, then you have Him, and He is eternal life. He, it says going on in verse 12, He that has the Son has life. What life is He talking about? Eternal life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now He has physical life, but He's talking about eternal life. God has given to us eternal life. And as long as we keep the Son living within us, we have eternal life. We need to die with Jesus Christ living in us. or be changed instantly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54, verses we read generally every funeral. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption, that's us, we're flesh and blood, we're corruption, we're dying every day. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that's to be dead, asleep, because there's a resurrection. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, not the alive, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This mortal, not immortal, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Other side of the page here, the paper. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Not a sin to be ignorant. Unless it's willingly. In some cases it is. Concerning them which are asleep. He speaks of the dead. Not as their immortal soul dwelling in heaven, but asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now where are they? Up in heaven? No. Notice. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. Now this is the King James Version that I have in here. And really, the word prevent was an old King James word that meant precede. So it's the new translations will all have precede. And that is, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. There's that last trump. And the dead in Christ, not alive, dead in Christ, shall rise first. Death is spoken of as being, for a Christian, to be asleep. They're dead, but it's asleep, because they're going to awake. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. He went on to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. Speaking of Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That is, whether we die in this flesh and then awake later to the resurrection. In Luke 23 and verse 24, is a verse that has been misunderstood. And it's understandable if you believe that people have an immortal soul that you would think this. Now, Jesus died and He was dead 3 days and three nights. But there are people who think He wasn't dead. Actually, I should say 3 days. After 3 days, what did He say? I have not yet ascended to my Father. Touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So did He go immediately to paradise to be with His Father? It sounds like it when you read this. And I can understand that. And Jesus said to the thief beside Him, verily, or true, veracity, verily I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. Now that sounds very much like He wasn't dead for 3 days and three nights. He had ascended to His Father. Sounds that way, doesn't it? The Greek word order is, truly I say to you today, with me you shall be in paradise. Now, the fact is, notice when I have the Greek word order, I have no commas. Why is that? Greek didn't have commas. That's something that came much later. But Greek did not have commas. Now, modern Greek Bibles will add commas sometime. But they're just added by human beings who are putting the Greek Bible together. I have a Greek Bible at home, actually put out by the Greek Orthodox Church. So there were no commas. Now the question is, the word today, does it go with the words before it or with the words after it? That is it as most of Christianity has translated this? Truly I say to you, comma, today with me you shall be in paradise. Or when you take all the verses that show that man does not have an immortal soul and must wait for a resurrection, should it be this way? Truly I say to you today, comma, with me you shall be in paradise. Now I mentioned earlier that even in Hebrew, that they would use that kind of an expression, I say to you today, for emphasis, or today I say to you. Assuredly I say to you today, this is a quote, was a common Hebrew idiom which is constantly used for very solemn emphasis. This is in the Companion Bible. That's not something put out by the Church of God. In its appendix, 173, page 192. So on the Companion Bible, they're saying, to say the expression, assuredly I say to you today, was a common Hebrew idiom. And of course the Greek, the Jews would have been using Hebrew idioms still. Even though they mostly spoke Aramaic, it was a very similar language. Here are some examples in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 18. That's Deuteronomy 30 and verse 18. It states, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. See, it's an expression of emphasis. I'm saying this today. Thus and such. Another example is in the New Testament, Acts 20 and verse 26. Acts 20 and verse 26. This is taken from the New International Version. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. You know, if you wanted to put a comma the way they did in Luke 23 and verse 43, you'd say, I declare to you, comma, today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. But yesterday I killed somebody. But that's, you know, the today goes with the previous part of the sentence, not the latter there. Okay, there are some other verses that prove that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Speaking of God, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Who has immortality? Who only hath immortality? Acts 2, verse 29. Here's an example of David. Where was David? On Pentecost, in what we think was 31 A.D. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Didn't say he's off in heaven somewhere. And his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Since that time, they've lost knowledge of where that is. It's gone. In Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is not eternal life in a fire somewhere. Aren't you glad? God's merciful. He loves His children. He may destroy some, but it will be out of love. That's sad. But He's not going to put them in eternal fire. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, here's that gift that you have in you. If you and I have Jesus Christ, that gift is in us. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 3 and verse 13. In John 3 verse 13 it says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And we'll hurry on to John 5, verse 28 and 29. John 5, verse 28 and 29. Nice to have these notes in your hand. Not only is it faster, you can take it home. Stick it in a drawer. 5 years from now, say, somebody will be asking you about it, and you'll be looking everywhere for this piece of paper. Everywhere for this piece of paper. Anyway, John 5. Verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. Mr. Armstrong used to read this in funeral sermons when he gave them. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. By the way, I've got good news that the word damnation here is krino, and it can mean damnation, it can mean punishment, but it's a very broad word. It involved judging, passing sentence, and executing the sentence. But it sometimes just involves judgment, just judging. So this can be the resurrection of judgment. The resurrection of judgment can be the second resurrection. And that is where they have the white throne judgment. So that's going to be the majority. There will be some who will come to a resurrection of the third resurrection, which truly is damnation. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Ah, they're dead, but they awake to everlasting life, some of them, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Doesn't mean they're alive forever, but their contempt is forever. Daniel 12, verse 13. And here is a statement made to Daniel. It's kind of comforting to those of us who are getting old and tired. I include myself on many days. Daniel 12, verse 13, he said, "But go your way till the end be, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days."